Hi, my name is David Worf. I'm a firefighter with the city of North Las Vegas and currently living in Las Vegas. Back in 1997, I used to work for the Port of Seattle at SeaTac International Airport. And at that time, I had only worked there a few years and got my first real airplane crash call. And it was a August night, about 7 o'clock in the evening, and I just cooked a wonderful chicken dinner. It was very, very nice. And I was just about to sit down to eat, and the crash phone rang, and it was a very excited FAA controller notifying us that an aircraft had crashed on the runway and was on fire. And so we ran to our vehicles, and I was assigned to a crash truck at that time. So my partner and I got in, and we happened to be the first unit on scene. So we attempted to hit the fire with our foam turret right off the get-go. But for some reason, I stopped the turret application because our other trucks were pulling up, and immediately put on my SCBA, as did my partner, so that we could go in to see if we could rescue anybody. And at the time, we didn't know that it was actually a cargo aircraft, and there was only one passenger, the pilot, that was on board. But at the time, since we could see the portholes of the windows, we thought there could be up to possibly 30 people on board. So we jumped down and started going in. Hand line had been pulled by the engine that had pulled up to get a water supply, and so our first initial attack was through the front passenger door, which had been knocked down due to how hard it had crashed. This plane was a twin-engine 1900 Beechcraft that had come from Portland, Oregon to SeaTac carrying bank materials. It apparently we found out later that it was misloaded, that they had put too much weight forward. And when the pilot was on approach, he was instructed by the tower to make the landing, to expedite the landing is how it was put. And so he took the benefit of landing about halfway down the runway, which was a good thing for him because that's about where our fire station was located, in the middle of the field. And so what happened is that when he expedited, he increased power and started going on his descent, and the load shifted on him, and which caused him to nose down, which as a reaction, he increased the throttle on that, which brought it the nose up but stalled the aircraft. And so he basically pancaked it from 500 feet straight onto the runway and punctured the landing gear through the wings, which caused the aviation fuel to start leaking out and immediately ignite. When the aircraft stopped, it was about 1,000 feet from where it originally crashed, and was in a ball of fire, basically. But since we got such a fast notification from the tower that we went ahead and responded so quickly, I think the actual time from the dispatch to when we actually arrived to the aircraft was a little bit over 30 seconds, because we had got immediately notified and got right to them. So going into the aircraft, I stuck my head in, and it was just coming over basically not a complete flashover, but the fuel and the smoke had ignited inside the cabin of the aircraft and was heading into the cockpit. I was unable to make an entry originally at first because of the heat and smoke, and so I made one shot with the hose line inside to try to cool it off enough for me to get in. And still like two steps into the aircraft itself, I could not see. I had zero visibility. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And at that time, I started yelling fire department and searching around with my hands. And about seemed like 10 seconds later, the pilot latched onto my arm in a death grip. It scared me really bad. But so I went ahead and grabbed him and tried to get him untangled from his seat in the front left cockpit. And impact was so severe that it actually fractured his vertebrae. And so he basically could not walk or help himself. And so he immediately started screaming and writhing in pain. But there was nothing I could do at that time other than evacuate him from the aircraft. So I pulled him out, long dragged him out of the aircraft and on to safety, where our first aid team started working on him. But after the fact, we got the aircraft out and everything was good. We found out that he was okay at the trauma center and that he was going to make it and everything. And he actually came back to meet me after the fact. And I was also honored that year with the Firefighter of the Year, which was a great honor for me. And his parents actually sent me Christmas cards for quite a few years after the fact. So it was a really great experience as a young firefighter to get that type of opportunity. And the training that I had been trained kicked right in, didn't have any questions or problems or anything like that. And so it turned out to be a great experience all around.
Awesome.
That's my story.
Thank you for sharing it.
You bet. Yeah, and actually, he got his back fused, his spine fused, and ended up flying for Horizon Airlines. He got a job with them and was flying Dash 8s when I last saw him. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So, that's
it. What a
great
way to start out your career.
Yeah, it was. It was a good call to be on. So, that's usually... In the aircraft industry, it's not always that way.
Yeah.
It's usually, you know, recovery and things like that. But it's nice when something like this does happen, when you're able to actually help.
What had happened, you had mentioned to me earlier that there was another call where it was just a recovery call.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Actually, it was two guys that were in a private plane, a small Piper, and they're not exactly sure what happened. There's SeaTac is the main commercial airport there, but there's also another one, Boeing Field, which is next to the plant where they make airplanes. And there's these guys were attending the Seahawk football game. It was after that. And for some reason, they took off out of Boeing Field, and he circled back around with some... And I guess witnesses were saying that they heard his engines cutting out, you know, like popping and sputtering. And there was actually in the community, I lived very close to the airport there where I grew up and went to high school and stuff there. Anyway, there, the elementary school that was two blocks from my house, he was going to attempt to land there. And he was not able to land there. He thought he could make the airport, which is only like another mile over. He turned towards the airport and could not make it over the initial terminal and buildings. And so he ended up crashing into a light post right outside the ticket spitter for the parking garage. And he kind of hit that and spun and augured in. And he ended up, it was two fatalities, the pilot and the person that was with him in the right seat because of the impact. But they're not sure if he was having problems or if it was the airplane. I don't know. I never read the NTSB report on that one. So, but that was that. The thing for us was, though, as a fire department response unit, is that we got word that this guy was in trouble. But then once the aircraft went down, they couldn't specifically tell us where the aircraft was, if it was on the field or off the field. And so our on-duty commander, or the captain at that time, Gary White, decided to split our crew right from the get-go. And so he sent, you know, some units one way and one the other way. And I happened to be on the one that found the aircraft, and it was burning at the time. And but there was no salvageability. And I guess somebody, a pedestrian that was entering the parking garage, stopped and tried to get out and to save the guys, but they couldn't even get close because of the fire and things that ensued. But yeah, that was a little bit difficult. That one was. But besides that, there was some very small other minor ones. We had to evacuate an Alaska Airlines MD-80 one time. The nose gear collapsed and skidded down the runways. It was pretty cool because it was at night and there were sparks all over the place. And so the captain decided to to evacuate the aircraft fully. And that, you know, you get some minor bumps and bruises with any kind of thing, because people get all excited and they're going down chutes, and, you know, at the bottom there's usually a big pile, and we try to untangle people the best we can. I think there were some scratches and bruises, and but that was about it. But met with the pilot after that one too, and they actually gave us the ground up nose gear door that for the aircraft as a thank you, you know, and we had that mounted in the fire station. So yeah, there were some good stories there. But yeah.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.